You don't prepare in a battle, you prepare for the battle. You don't play away your preparation. It's a season. It will not always be there. You know, I've said this to people. If you rush out when you are not prepared, your generation will not forget you. They will note you and not forget that you are a mediocre. Any soldier that gets to the battlefield then start learning how to shoot a gun is a dead soldier. You are not in the ministry to compete, you are a ministry to work. If you want to compete at all, the only person you should compete against is yourself.
Pastor Femi Lazarus has been commissioned to go raise God's end time army. Sit back and be blessed as a gold soldier of Christ.
I commend you to God's grace. You do ministry well. In the name of Jesus.
Father, bless you, Jesus. We ask that the entrance of your word will bring life to us, and every form of dryness will be neutralized in the name of Jesus. We are asking that your mercy will speak and you will intervene in the midst of our adventure and process of growth in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. I'd like us to quickly do something. I'd like us to check the book of John, chapter number 1. John 1. From verse 1. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And let me come again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him was all things. Through him all things were made. Without him was nothing made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Developing value system for the world. Developing value system for the world. Alright, so I have heard people say times without number that we are people of the world. We are people of the world. Or those people are people of the world. This is a world church. This is a world ministry. And I want to throw the question open. What exactly is the world? If we are going to talk about developing a system of value for the world, what is the word? All right. If you ask an average Christian what the word is, oftentimes probabilities are very high that because of the way most Christians have been brought up, there are tendencies that most Christians do not answer questions. In the light of God's word, most Christians have tendencies of answering questions so they can answer or so they can be right. You do not answer biblical question just for the fun of it. You have no business with being with trying to be right. All that is important is that you are consistent with what the word of the Lord says. So, when you stand before a people to just rupture and put things together, just cook and just give them anyways and confuse them with so much grammar, such that it is clear that both you, the preacher, and the people listening to you do not have accurate understanding about what you are talking about, then you are not building according to pattern. Alright, don't forget that scripture, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 10 to 12. Paul said, I, as a wise master builder, have laid well the foundation. Let every man be careful what he builds thereupon. So, the word is the sum total of God's thought, plan, and will for his children. The sum total of God's thought, plan, and will for his children. Or you can say that the word is the message of God's thoughts, the message of God's thoughts, of God's will, and his plan for his children. So, if the Bible describes Jesus as the Word, what is the Bible saying? The Bible is simply saying that Jesus is the height of God's communication to us. He is the revelation and the encapsulation of God's thought, of God's will, and his plan for humanity. Now, the word of God is very vital, because everything God wants to do with us, for us, and to us will be done through the system of the word. Okay? So, if you are a minister of God, you understand that ministry only exists where the instruction of God exists. So, as a minister, you do not build a life culture that trivializes the weight of God's instruction. If you look at the book of 1 John chapter number 1, 1 John chapter number 1 from verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. Alright, three stages of interaction with the word. Number one, hearing. Number two, seeing, which also involves looking upon it. Number three, handling the word. So, beyond hearing, there is a point where a man, in his interactions and growth with the things of the Spirit and growth in the light of God, will come to a point where he can see what is said. Alright, that's the point of revelation. When your eyes of understanding is enlightened, that what is being said is not vague to you. It is what you can see. You can palpate it. It becomes apparent to your heart. The place of seeing the word is in an unveiled heart. So when the Bible says that we all with unveiled faces behold the glory of the Lord as in a mirror, and we are changed into the very same image. The unveiled face there describes a heart that is penetrable, a heart that is entrable, a heart that has no stone, the heart of flesh. And that's why Paul prayed for the Ephesians church, that the eyes of your understanding may be what? Enlightened. Let me say this to you. The fact that a man is hungry for God is not a proof that his heart is the heart of flesh. A young man came to request to be amongst the disciples of Jesus. And Jesus gave him an instruction to go and sell all his properties and follow him. And the Bible said, he went away with sorrow, for he had great possession. He had hunger for God, but not to the point where anything is worth sacrificing for it. One of the ways to know whether you are in trouble or not is to check, I claim to be called into the ministry. I claim to have received visions and instructions from God. I claim to have received revelations of the things God will have me do. Do I have the willingness to put anything on the line for this? When a soldier is signing the contract to enter into military, or a proposed soldier, one of the things they will have to sign is their own is a document containing their own willingness to pay ultimate sacrifice for the noble cause they have chosen. That when the going gets tough, listen, I am both willing and ready to put everything on the line. The degree of what you can sacrifice for the call of God on your life is a function of the level to which you have handled the tenet of the call. Some have heard, but some have encountered him. This differentiates between men. When the going gets tough, only those who have handled God's word will keep going. Some are ministers, but only to a point where things are going fine. And the Lord even knows them too. That's the beautiful thing. So it is very easy for you to find men like this saying, I am paying the price, I am fasting, I am doing this, but God doesn't seem to be releasing the same thing he has released into brother so-and-so or pastor so-and-so into me. The one who is pouring the grace knows how far you are willing to go. And until your heart is right, nothing substantial will come to your hands. And this is the point where many ministers are. They are in ministry, but they have one eye looking at other things. If this thing called ministry doesn't seem to be working, oh boy, I will check out. With that same heart, they claim to be reaching out for God to pour into them. The same way he has poured into a man who has burnt all his bridges. Not so. You need to ask yourself, really, am I really sacrificing for the call of God upon my life? Is it costing me anything? Hold on a minute. Is this call worth any price? If I am about to get married to a lady and she is fair, to look upon. By that, I'm not saying she's light. I'm saying she's beautiful to behold. But on the account of her compatibility with me and that which the Lord will have me do, we agree, but we don't agree at the level of the assignment. Have I come to a point of maturity where I am well able to stand and I say, let this die down for the sake of the calling? Jacob pillowed his head on a stone. Samson pillowed his head on a woman's lap. They saw different things. Aha. My heart cry, Sarah and Ma, is that majority of those who are shouting with us are not part of us. They are only shouting because it is making sense now. When situations become bleak, they are nowhere to be found. And their antecedent shows for it. You look at their lives, every part of body of service they have belonged to. The moment it starts calling for sacrifices and services, you know, particularly when it borders on their finance, they check out. I have noticed this, that everyone shouts until there is a demand. Alright? What demand does is that it separates between true followers and false disciples. Have I come to a point where I am handling tangibly the word of God as touching his call and purpose for my life? Can it cost me anything? Am I here because somewhere, somehow, at different junctions of my life, I'd sat down and I've thought that ministers of God do enjoy. That maybe if we join them for these things, somehow, we too, it will pay off. The Bible said, Jesus did not entrust himself to their hands, for he knows their hearts. Do you think it was a mistake that Christ himself had to pray, the harvest is indeed plenteous, but true laborers are few? Pray to the Lord of harvest that he will send laborers into his vineyard. Not everyone around the harvest are there to labor. Some are there to consume. Ezekiel 34 revealed them. He said, do not the shepherd feed themselves when they ought to feed the sheep? He said, you drink their milk, eat their meat, but that which is sick you have failed to strengthen. One of the ways you know men who are truly following God is that you cannot claim to know God without knowing his word. God appeared in Shiloh by his word. For every man that God called, you hear the Bible say, and the word of the Lord came unto Ezekiel, and the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, and the word of the Lord came unto Isaiah. God is his word, and where he is, his word is there. What God can do is what can do. You cannot claim to know God and rate him above his word. We are going somewhere. So, the proof that your claim as touching the level to which you know God is true is that we check your value system for the word. How do we check your value system for the word? If you truly value the word, then you know that the word of God is our life and light. You need both to survive. You must have at least done some little bit of biology. And you know about the process of photosynthesis. Green plant manufacture their food. You know, the ones with chlorophyll makes them green. In the presence of sunlight. They photosynthesize. They use light to manufacture their food so energy can be generated. In him was light, and that light was the life of men. So the energy with which you function can only be generated in that light. Your word is a light to my feet and a lamp to my path. To what extent have I come to encounter this word? You know, I have taught you that irrespective of the anointing of a pastor, when he is praying for people and they are saying amen with disdain, no matter where the oil is flowing from, it stops flowing. There is something about grace that doesn't flow towards the direction of dishonor. Developing value system for the word is developing the consciousness, the revelation that our survival, our safety is mainly through the word. The word of God is what forms jurisdiction of operation for us in terms of the activities we have in the spirit realm. So, for a man of the word, everything doesn't go. You are not anything goes. It is only that which is consistent with the word that goes. As a matter of fact, when anything is being said, we check the consistency of those things with the word. Let me give you an instance. Some years ago, as the University Joint Christian Campus Fellowship president, I placed one of my ex-cos then on a disciplinary measure. Why? She got pregnant. So she reported herself. So I sat her down and then prayed with her. We agreed that the fact that you have made a mistake doesn't mean God is throwing you away. However, for the sake of balance, 1 Timothy 5 verse 20 says that they that sin rebuke before all that others also might fear. The reason why we give discipline is because it is the child the father loves that he chastises. Then we give discipline for the sake of the impact this misbehavior is going to have on young believers, so they can see that the system has guiding principles. The system we are in has principles that guides our operation, and certain things are not to be condoned. So that was done. And then we were preparing for a meeting around that time, and we're to bring Mommy Harogun for the meeting. So we were praying and then having evangelism towards the meeting. While that was on, I received a report that on their way to the evangelism, they gathered. Usually we gather, you know, to pray. So I wasn't there that day because I also had pastoral duties in another church apart from the fellowship. So I was told that while they gathered themselves to pray, the same lady suddenly began to prophesy and then started saying different from a prophecy and then said different words to everyone there and then started prophesying about herself rolling on the floor. I've taught you that prophecy is not epilepsy. You don't have to roll on the floor to prophesy. But it is possible that the hand of God comes upon you in a way you cannot withstand. But you must grow. You get what I'm saying? Because if you want to prophesy to kings and to nations, you cannot expect that they will have to be carrying you up and down. Let's stop some of the funny things we do. We make Christianity look funny. You don't have to count calories to prophesy. You see, counting calories. Develop strength. Alright. Despite your strength, there is a dimension that will come upon you can't undo. Or will wait until that one comes. So she started prophesying and then prophesy about herself. And said, tell my daughter, the one speaking now. Of course, she's the one speaking, not God. That she wasn't pregnant. I, the Lord, was tempting her to see a stand in me. So they came with joy, some of the leaders, and said, Pastor, amazing things happened today. We received a word of prophecy. The first question I ask when I hear that, who was the vessel? Because we can deduce the authenticity of a thing by looking at the vessel, the antecedent. Is this fellow a man that is given to God? You cannot say, oh, God is the one that knows my heart. Keep quiet. What is in your heart will reflect in your frame. If a fruit is ripe, it shows in the skin. If you are the only one that knows you are good, it means you are very bad. Say, don't, even if I dress like a prostitute and I'm going to church, my heart is clean. Your external carriage is a reflection of your internal issues, either decadence or repairs that are there. So they said, that's the vessel. So I said, oh, amazing. Let's sit down and hear this one. They said, the Lord said he's going to do great things in the fellowship. I said, fantastic. That is not a news. The Lord said, you are his servant. You are serving in faith. Fantastic. That is not a news. You see, fake prophecy can carry you away when it has first inflated your head above normal. And it takes a man that is living in sin for fake prophecy to inflate your head. If you are truly a child of God, when they tell you, oh, my servant, you know it, you are a child of God. So, she said, the Lord said, those gave me the report said that lady wasn't pregnant then. The Lord was just tempting our prophecy and with pregnancy. I said, fantastic. The way he tempted Mary or someone else that he tempted in the Bible with pregnancy, the Holy Ghost overshadowed her and then the temptation came. Who suspends anybody for pregnancy? You were suspended for fornication. Pregnancy is just the result of fornication, true or not true. That's premarital, extramarital, or let me say premarital pregnancy now. But when you are married, it's a product of intercourse. You get what I'm saying? The child is holy. You get what I'm saying? But somebody has brought the child early, and then we have to let the person know this is wrong. So when they're done telling me all those things, we sat down and we checked consistency of those things with scripture. And at that note, we were able to hold on to the fact that there is a foul play here. Somebody is speaking to the people of God with lying tongue. The word is the frame. It is the marking scope of what is correct or not correct as far as the affairs and the activities of the kingdom is concerned. So, a true child of God understands the power in valuing this word. My heart bleed for the arrogance in the heart of people. Let me say this to you. My greatest issue, my greatest burden in this ministerial endeavor is how to help people to come to a point where their arrogance towards God is broken. The way the average Christian or the average minister approaches God, you can tell from all indication that he's self-sufficient. Most have come to a point where they need not God to survive. They seem to have crafted out secret of survival outside God. And you see, this is because their number one pursuit when they started wasn't God. Because you will settle around your greatest desire. If while you were claiming with your lips that God is the reason why I'm in ministry, but somewhere in your heart you know you are there because you want to eradicate poverty in your house. And in the process of chasing after God, money was released, influence. God permitted great things to come around you. If that thing that God has allowed to come around you is what your heart has settled on before you started, you will not be able to fake your settlement around it. You will settle. Man's pursuit will stop when he eats his greatest desire. So, you can tell primarily that the way many are doing life and running about ministry, sir, you do not need a prophet to tell you that it is only with their lips that they show much love, but their heart turns after their own covetousness. Ezekiel 33 verse 31. With their lips, much love pours. Oh, I love the Lord. You will not believe it. I am seeking the Lord every day. I just want to be where you are. To sit and feast at your table. With their mouth, they show much love. But their hearts go after their own what? Covetousness. Brothers and sisters, while men look at the mouth that speaks, God check the heart and the convictions. Probabilities and possibilities are very high that the mouth is saying something entirely different from what is in the heart. And you can tell with the way people value the word. You know, the word of God is what encapsulates his blessings. The blessings of God doesn't come by insinuation. They come in his word. They are encapsulated. The might of God is encapsulated in his word. The word of God is what captures the wisdom of God. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, from verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, We'll go to verse 14 first. I bring some explanations to you here. Then we start the reading from verse 1 so you can understand verse 14 better. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The moment receiving the word or the intangible resource from God no longer makes any meaning to you, you can tell that you are in your natural state. As the deer pants, thirst after the waters, so does the heart of a man of the Spirit pant after God. Why? Every man who is truly living in the Spirit knows that God is our survivor. You come to a place where it becomes apparent to you that it is not possible to do a day without him. One of the things I really bless God for in the lives of men who had been with God, you get what I'm saying? Men who had walked with God in times past, our fathers of faith, one of the major things you discover about them is that, brothers and sisters, while this generation may claim to have more reps, these men knew God. And that knowledge is revealed in the way they revere him. You can't truly know God and not fear him. They don't go hand in hand. Now, while we are looking at that same book of 1 Corinthians, let me start the reading from verse 1 Corinthians 2 from verse 1. But I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything amongst you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, through experience in ministry, I understand the meaning of of this verse 2. That when a people walk in consistent rebellion, it is very possible as a minister of God that you do not want to have anything to do with them apart from the purpose to which God has brought you to their lives. You do not want them to be a part of anything as touching giving to you, so that they will not go around and say, that man of God has only come because of what he wants to get. It is a point ministers come to that they determine. He said, I have determined through observation that I will not know anything else amongst you except just this Jesus that has brought us together and him crucified. I understand that of all the places Paul went to for his ministry, the Corinthians church really needed a lot of work to be done on them. At some point there was a case heard amongst them of a young man in the church that was going in to sleep with his father's wife, and yet he was still coming to church. As a matter of fact, there was a time in amongst these people in the Corinthians church that when Holy Communion is being served in church, people rush down, and it is first to get there that finishes the whole thing. Brother Japhet will hear that there is Holy Communion service. The moment the pastor is done blessing it, he rushes to the altar and grab the bread or the wine, depending on which one is hungry for, and they will finish it. At some point, Paul was not happy with them. He said, Listen, Corinthians church, I couldn't speak to you as them that are mature. Are you not yet carnal? For yet there is amongst you envying and strife. Some of you are saying we belong to Paul. Others are saying we belong to Apollos. Have you seen a case in a denomination where people will keep malice on the account of the fact that I got to this church before you. You can't call me auntie. Huh? And the other will say, but I'm older than you. Said, yes, in this ministry, I got here before you. You owe me respect. Where they bring tradition into the house of God. So, Paul was speaking. Their case was a very pathetic case. Paul had to write to them twice. He said, I have determined not to know anything amongst you. And let me say this to you, children of God. It is not a good thing for a minister of God to determine not to know anything else amongst you. Why? The devil has a way with which he has set the heart of people against ministers. The hostility, the hatred the devil has for ministers of God is usually seen in the attitude of members towards them. An average church member cares about his own headache than the pastor's cancer. A while ago, I still have people that I pray with from different countries every day. Different countries. So, I said, I want to know those who are really following. So, I sent messages to all of them. So, I said, there is a level of partnership I want to do with the ministry. They share testimonies of things God is doing in their life every day. So I said, I want you to partner with this project we are doing. Send the message to them. After sending the message, only one person is still communicating with me till date. The rest ran away. Paul never said this statement to the Philippian church. But rather to the Philippian church, he said, listen, when I was in my days of distress, no other ministry communicated anything to me except you. He said, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. That was a prayer of a minister whose life is on the altar for God and blessing the people on the account of their response, their acknowledgement of the sacrifice of what this man is doing. The reason why most people do not value ministers of God is because they do not know what it means to be a genuine one. And when the devil keeps raising false prophets, false pastors, false evangelists, false apostles, false prophets, false teachers around, those who make mockery of the sacred life of trust that God has called his servant to, as the devil flaunts them, is also using them to spoil the mind of people towards ministry and ministers. It is called the fiery dart of the devil. Through the misbehavior of one, paint others black so that they will see them as the same. So, Paul was going through something. This kind of communication comes from a heart that has experienced neglect. So he said, I have determined to know nothing amongst you but Jesus and him crucified. We are going somewhere. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, brothers and sisters. Does this describe the way a minister should be amongst people? I was with you in what? In weakness. That is, amongst you, I feel very vulnerable. Because you people are people who are very prone to be used as instrument of attack every now and then. I was with you in fear and in trembling. Fear, because we do not know. Who can wake up tomorrow and then The simple counsel pastor gave this one from a very pure heart has been misunderstood. If you misunderstand the counsel of a minister of God all the time, it is a proof that something is wrong with your heart. Because in ministry, the same food you serve to all, some people will take it on the wrong side. During one of the issues of xenophobia, one of the fathers of faith in this country spoke up and said, Nigerians should not retaliate towards the South Africans, killing them in their country, because of Nigerians that are still there. So if you start retaliating against them here, your people are still there and they'll be affected. Do you know that media outlets took it as, this pastor said Nigerians should not retaliate, and we are sure he's saying that because of the tithe and offering coming from there. Brothers and sisters, tithe and offering that enters the church, who told you that it is for the pastor? Because the moment people want to insult ministers of God, they say he's collecting what? Tithe. He's collecting tithe. So, all pastors are thieves. No, sir. All pastors are not thieves. So, all these things are a system of attack from the pit of hell. The devil is trying to harass the minds of young people that God is calling into ministry. So when they hear it, they'll be afraid. But there is a good news. The Lord will send more laborers into the vineyard. For the last day is the season of harvest. Now, he said, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. So make sure no minister of God will be around you like this. Because if a minister of God is around you with fear and much trembling, he will not be able to communicate with you the height of what God wants you to get. I notice that it is a blessed thing that when a minister of God remembers you, his heart blesses you. I was speaking to one of our daughters in ministry with them some days ago. She sent me a message about her being in a city, and I said this, and then when she sent that message, I did not even reply to the message. I said to her, I said, each time your name crosses my heart blesses you. There is no way you will not succeed. Your heart will truly bless those who are co-laborers with you. True or not true? Yes. And this calls for wisdom for associate pastors. Do not think your ministry starts the day you go to start something. No, sir. Your ministry has started since the day you start serving. Huh? And the fact that somebody is a pastor is not a proof that God is calling him to start a church. Huh? Before our ministry started, my number one plan, and I'm saying it again, was to go and be a sanitation member. I've already functioned in that department before. And remain there till God gives me a word. God has spoken to me about our church for about 5 years before it commenced. He started speaking to me about it bit by bit 8 years before it commenced. The direct instructions started coming 5 years before it commenced. I just wanted to serve. I was in my childhood church in Kano early this year. And I was so excited, you know, looking at the reception I had at the airport. And I also remembered how I will trek distance just to be in church ahead of anybody, so I can sweep, set the instrument, pack everything back. You get what I'm saying? I was virtually in a whole department. And I noticed that if what you are doing, if you are counting it, it is not of love. Because if you are functioning from love, you don't see stress. It is now when I sit back and I remember those things and I ask myself, how was I able to do all those things? Love. We are going somewhere. Verse 4. And my preaching, my speech and preaching, was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom amongst them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom of God ordained before the world unto our glory. Hey, the supply of wisdom that proceeds from God is ordained unto our what? Glorification. Meaning that your life will be colorful to the degree that you cooperate with the world. The enhancement, the glorification a man experiences is directly proportional to his alignment with the word. And let me say this to you. Let me say this using this illustration. A pastor was saying a while ago, talking about those who indulge in premarital sex to have been thwarting their own glory. To have been thwarting their own destiny. And he put that on social media. People started attacking him and they started saying, we know a football player like Cristiano Ronaldo. Huh? He's not legally married, but he's in millions. And he has girlfriends and they are enjoying each other. We know so and so worldly musician. Huh? He's not married. He has girlfriends and he's enjoying his life and yet he's rich. We know so and so and so. He's not married and they're so rich. And when issues like this spring forth, it will not be uncommon for you to hear people tell pastors who have made you judge. When the truth becomes a judgment over you, it shows that your heart is reprobate. So when I saw the thread there, I kept quiet, but I held something in my heart. It is difficult for a man who is not in Christ to know what glory is. A man who is not in Christ cannot define what fulfillment of destiny is. Your destiny is not fulfilled the day you have money. If you don't have something, you will see the day you have it as the ultimate. So it is difficult for a poor man to define success outside of having money. Idi Amin had money. Adolf Hitler had money. But these men were one of the greatest monsters the world ever had. We also read about the story of the man that had money in the Bible, but he was called the rich fool. Huh? Is money good? Yes. But it is not the proof that you are in tune with God. The Israelites were continuous indignation to God in the wilderness. They were attacked. Their shoe never worn out. Their clothes remained intact. Their health never failed them. For 40 years in the wilderness. the fact that God released some things is a proof of how benevolent He is. They are not a sanction of your own alignment with Him. Let's say this quickly. That the glorification the Bible is talking about here is not in terms of having. Because you can quickly point to one or two boys who are engaging in internet fraud. And they have more than enough. Probably more than the pastor. So, tendencies are high that a carnal man will always see things differently based on his own carnality. The glorification the Bible is talking about here is such that cannot be purchased with money. That even long after the man is dead, there is something about what God has done with his life that is still speaking. And yet, yes, money is still part of the package. Because we must understand how to be balanced in the system of God. If you serve God genuinely, brothers and sisters, God will bless you. If you claim that God's call for your own life is to be very poor, it is okay. But I can show you through scriptures that when a man follows the path of God's wisdom, there will be glorification for him. There will be lifting for him. Is that very clear? Yes. So, a carnal man cannot describe. And let me bring this another way around. Carnality puts you in a vantage point that is directly opposite of what the view of God is. So you see things differently, particularly in a way that is directly opposite of God's view. Have you read the story of Esau and Jacob before? What were they fighting for? The blessing. Were they fighting for the father's property? Were they fighting for the sheep, the goats, the cows, the cattle? Were they fighting for the tents, the houses? Were they fighting for the maids, the women, and the wives? They were fighting for what? The blessing. You know, as long as you can have things you are recording in your own strength, you do not see any need for God. Until a man comes to the end of his rope, he cannot reach out for more of God. If he does, it's just on his lips. Matthew 5 verse 3, the Message translation. Blessed are you when you are at the end of your rope. For with less of you, there is what? More of God. In Psalms 51 verse 17, Message translation, it said, I learned God worship when my pride was shattered. Heart shattered lives ready for love. Don't for a moment escape God's notice. Many Christians who are not putting their head in one place today to reach out for that which God has to offer, they will still eventually eat the rock. And many have built life structures that it is only until they eat the rock before they can see Jesus as the rock of ages. They have built life structures that is showing to God that the only way they can be helped is that their own Isaac dies. When Isaac entered the life of Abraham, God saw that his position shifted to number two. And for God to become number one, he said to him, sacrifice this Isaac. And when God saw his willingness to do it, God said, now I know you fear me. I swear by my name, in blessing I will what? bless you. Abraham did not just come to that point. All through the season and moment of his life, that he was young enough to have plan B, he never saw God as the ultimate. He was going in and out of his housemate as long as his wife was instructing, go and sleep with her. He was enjoying himself. Or you think he only went in once? That would be a joke. Immorality doesn't stop once. It lingers. Just like David never slept with Bathsheba once. It lingers. The devil will always hold a man more than the man is willing to stay. So, as long as he had alternatives in his mind, the child of promise never came. All he was betting in his own life was trouble. Hurting the plan of God for himself. You will keep hurting God's plan for your life as long as you have not been humbled. But the Bible said, in Genesis chapter number 17, and when Abraham was 99 years, the Lord appeared unto him. God waited for him to come to a point where when the child of promise comes, you can no longer say that this child came because of my own strength. God waited till he came to the end of his strength. Now, God doesn't have to do this with all believers. If you come to the end of yourself at 25, you will have what somebody is having at 99. What God was waiting for was not that time counting. God was waiting for the end of a process in his heart. Delay is the only thing that may be resulted to many things. Sorry, don't let me use conclusive words. But it is one of the things that will be resulted to help a man who is too busy and wild seeing alternatives everywhere else. What that does is that it brings the man to a point where patience will have its thorough work in the man, that the man will be whole and entire, wanting nothing. You will be busy not valuing the blessing because you have energy to walk, sir. You have energy to run around. Why would you trust the principles of God for financial abundance as long as you have uncles and aunties to ask for money? But in the day that your own Uzziah will die, and I'm not talking about physical death now, one day they wake up and say, don't call me again, then you will see the Lord. It has been seen times without number, that until that which a man puts his trust in is taken away from him, he cannot see the Lord. There are many people today that would have gone far in the Lord, but they have entered into relationship with somebody who is their God. The moment your relationship with a person, either marital relationship or friendship, comes to a point where God becomes number two, that person is the enemy of your lifting. Sacrifice quickly anything that puts God as number two in your life before God takes it away from you. You see Christians, they come to church, reach out, ask for prayers, all those things. As long as their request has not touched their hands, brothers and sisters, the day they handle what they are looking for, God becomes what they mock. And God knows it. That it appears as though the moment these children are satisfied, they no longer seek me. What will God do? It tries to complete a process in you. If you will learn these things, you will not have to go through delay. Such that, irrespective of what he gives to you, he can still enter into your life boldly as the landlord and ask of you a thing, and he knows you will not refuse him. Huh? Before prominence came, before you started receiving calls here and there for this and that, brothers and sisters, there was a way you were seeking the Lord. This was the criteria, the system of checking that sifted the largest percentage away from the army of Gideon. Those that when they saw what they were looking for, they threw away caution and dived into those things and forgot that despite the fact that we are having these resources, we are still soldiers fighting. Huh? We are men who are wandering away in sheepskin and in desert, knowing that this place, we are only here for an assignment. Are you getting what I'm saying here? The moment some believers get physical things, they throw away caution. That takes away their enlistment in men that can convey the real plan of God. Many would have been fine and intact up until now, sir, if not that God answered their prayers. Huh? In the days they were trusting God for marriage, for a good brother, brothers and sisters, these men were all around God. If a man is truly hungry for God, he can benefit from every service. You will find God there. The preacher does not have to be sound for you to be blessed. Your hunger can draw something from nothing. It appears, sir, that the reason why this generation of Christians are crying, that it looks like God is not releasing to them, is that God doesn't want to give you what will take you away from Him. Huh? He wants to build a system of value for His word and Himself in your life, that even when He lifts you, nothing is too difficult for you to release. And you don't know your tendencies, sir, until abundance comes. And many of you are capable of doing destructive things, but you do not know. Because when a man is small in his own eyes, he cries to God for lifting and promise and make all those kind of promises and say, I will do this, Lord, I will do that. Samuel told Saul. He said, when you were small in your own eyes, the Lord sought you out from your father's house and made you a king over his heritage. Huh? Don't live your life in a way that God will have to remind you of where He picked you up from. And I perceive strongly that this is the burden of the Lord to this generation. There's so much noise everywhere, but men who are willing to go all the way are few, sir. So much noise. People make noise here and there. Oh, we love God. We want to be drunk in the spirit. Let there be a demand. Then you see those who really value God. Do you value prayers? Do you value the blessing? If God says His servant will pray for you, do you value the prayers? Does it mean anything to you? When God blesses you today, can you trace it to God or you trace it to your own effort? Do you understand what I'm saying? The heart of man is very deep. And this is a very serious call. If I were you, by now I'd be praying and crying to God, search me. Dig out my tendencies. I do not know what I'm capable of. I can see wickedness in me. There is something about me that doesn't really love you. How come this love is only on my lips? My heart cries to you, Lord. Help my life. I do not want to be a joker. I do not. Help me. The proof that I'm really humble is that I value genuinely, with gravity, with all form of meekness, everything that proceeds for you from you. But looking at my life, I cannot see that I really value those things yet. It appears as though I'm still enjoying myself because I have strength and capacity. Help me. I want to be thought by you. The Roman soldiers could not break the bones of Jesus because he was already broken before you. I don't want life to break me. Help me, Lord. Visit my life. There are many condiments in my heart, but I seem to have been growing like that anyway. Heal me, Lord. I want to really value your word. I want to value the blessing. I don't want to be Esau. Build a value system in me. Build a consciousness of the weight of your word. Kanamashente Rukumatia Manakashante. Liana Makoshente Rakina Makoshente Yana Makofeti Kiliana Mashata. Lande runo mokuku namashente rekini mashata balareko no mokoshente rukumatike. Lene mekriana makuronde riki namakoson prokufredi mashante. Lord, I perceive I'm already coming to a point where my heart looks cemented. It looks as though nothing can penetrate it anymore. Ah, help me. I want to truly value you. I don't want to choke. I don't want to be a pretender or a liar around the holy things of this calling. Help me. Help me, Lord. Shanara kushente ne makara kashante. Likrene mo kushente rukuma nara kushente de rukoko. Shente rakime anara kushente rukoro no mokoro kushente de rukoshente. La namara kushente de rukoshente de rukoro kumati. This is what God has done and has been able to achieve in the lives of every man that is weighty in his agenda. He has helped them to build a system of value and dependence on him. Help me. I don't want to have vain love just on the lips. It takes humility to value that which you cannot see. Do you put your strength in your prowess, your oratory skill, the relationships you have around you, your family background? Will you please come to the end of yourself? So God can lift you by himself. I beg you in the name of God. If at this point you are not weeping before him, something needs to be done about your heart. Help me, Lord. Rescue me from presumption. I don't want to overrate myself. Kashate. Liki makushete lokumata kabakushete. Samson never valued anybody. As long as the power was on him, the gift can be deceptive. I may want you to look down people that have been running this race ahead of you and say, what do they know and what do they have? No, but they have the secret of longevity. Reach out to God. I want to forever chase after you. Break my pride. How many messages do I have on my electronic systems? How many do I listen to? Do I value them? How many months have I had this message that I'm just listening to today? I've had it since. Somehow I've been busy doing other things. That's how I treat the things of God. I'm not too careful to get them on time. I just have them there because I value other things. I can truly look at myself and I know I need help. Help me. Help me, Lord. My heart reaches out to you. Help me. By faith we know. By faith we know that the world was formed by the word of God. So that which was seen was not made from that which is seen. I recognize God, the power of your instruction to transform my life suddenly. I do not take it for granted. I will not trivialize this powerful wisdom of yours that is ordained for my glory. Cry to God, help me. Help me. Shante rokuma tikele teke rokushete. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' powerful and mighty name, we have prayed. Father, I bless everyone. Let your hand remain on them. Let this hunger never die out. Let real culture of value arise in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.
True transformation is evident for doers and not just hearers of the word. Be a doer of these words of transformation.
To reach us, send an email to femilazarus326@gmail.com. Stay blessed.